This is November 16. This is Hugh T. McElrath in an interview with Beatrice Collins, who was a member of the first bachelor's graduating class of 1947, master's class of 48. Beatrice, you have written a lot of this, but would you just be willing to share with us briefly why you came to the School of Church Music, what you knew about it beforehand, and circumstances that brought you here?
Could I go back a little bit and talk about my family?
Certainly.
Well, I think it might be of interest to know that I came from a very modest, almost poor family. At least they started out with nothing. And they were hard workers and churchgoers all of their lives. And so my mother bought a piano for $25 when I was 7 years old and gave me piano lessons. She found a wonderful German lady who had come over here, who was a pianist and a teacher, and she was a wonderful musician. Her name was Laura Long, and for 10 years I studied piano with Laura Long. My mother and I walked, at least I roller skated and mother walked. It was about 5 miles from where we lived to give me lessons until later we got a car and we were able to drive. And she paid for my lessons by sewing. She did all of the clothes for Mrs. Laura Long, and that's how I got my music training. So until I was 18, I had lessons with her. Daddy was a day laborer, I guess you would call him, Bemis Bag Company and then Ford Motor Company. And later he got his own car painting shop. But he worked hard all of his life, and then in his later years he became a carpenter. But as you can see, our income always was modest. So through the Baptist, the generosity of the Baptist, I enrolled in Union University. Jackson, Tennessee, mm-hmm. And went to school there from 1939 till 41 for 2 years till I had to drop out for financial reasons and for health reasons. And between high school and there, I had worked myself from 36 to 39 as a private secretary in the Ford, in the South Memphis stockyards, out where the animals were in the office. And when I dropped out from Union University, I found a job as a secretary to the traffic manager of the Ford Motor Company in Memphis, and I worked there for 3 years. That was at this point in my life that I was still not able to study music anymore for one reason or another, financial or health or whatever. And mother talked to me one day and said, B, she always called me B, if you will quit your job and go to the WMU Training School, is that what it was called?
That's
here in
right.
Louisville?
Mm-hmm.
I will go to work and sell real estate and pay your way. And so that's how I got here. So I was not too excited about going to the WMU Training School. It didn't interest me, but mother thought that would be the place for me, and so I agreed. And fortunately, when she wrote, or I wrote, I guess I did the correspondence by now, when I enrolled or wrote in, I got a letter back saying, you might be interested in the School of Music, which is being formulated. And so that's how I got to be in the first class of the School of Music, because we learned about it through that correspondence. And I'm sure God was leading all the way, because this seemed to be exactly what I wanted and what mother thought was great too. So we were both happy about
that.
That
seems to be very interesting. I mean, this was the experience of several who were in the first class. They were coming to the WMU Training School.
I know.
Florence Moore, Ruth.
I didn't know until yesterday.
Ruth Garcia. And, of course, Ruth stayed there but still took the music course.
I know. So that was our beginning, yeah.
Right. Well, what was your impression once you got here to Louisville?
I thought it was heaven. Nothing could have been more beautiful, more lovely. I might have been a little bit nervous about coming. I don't remember, but I was so welcomed. Everybody was so cordial. And all of my memories at this moment are very positive about those first days and that beginning.
What was your impression of Frances Winters?
Well, eventually I loved her and admired her, but at first she was nice to me too, but she was a little bit formal and I was a little bit scared of her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was very serious.
Very serious.
And all business.
All business.
But very kindly, really, underneath. But you have to remember, she was from Colorado. She would
that
be
makes
what
a
we
difference.
Would call a Westerner or a Yankee, even.
Yeah,
and
uh-huh.
That's not quite the Southern
yeah.
culture.
She couldn't have been nicer to me. I mm-hmm. never felt that I wasn't welcome. Mm-hmm. I just didn't warm up to her as immediately as I did some of the girls.
How about her as a teacher?
Oh, excellent, excellent, excellent. She couldn't have been, I was so impressed. I always respected and admired her for all of those reasons of her taking mm-hmm. on this responsibility of formulating the music school, of handling it, of running it, of doing everything that had to be done and doing it so well. And her classes, I just stood in awe of her. I knew how much she worked on it, mm-hmm. and I knew how informed she was, how knowledgeable. And now, as I've written in my little letter that I wrote to be left with my friends this week, I've forgotten now what I was going to say, as I have written in there about her. I don't remember what I was going to say. My mind went blank.
What did you study with her? I know hymnology was one of course.
Hymnology and choir methods and voice. Those are the ones I remember.
You studied
especially.
Private voice with
yes,
her?
Yes, yes.
I see.
Later on, I think. I don't remember who my first teacher. She might have been my first teacher.
She probably was.
Yeah, she was my first teacher. And then Audrey later.
Came
yeah.
the last year.
Yeah.
Well, you probably, because of your background, studied more with Claude Allman than a lot of the first year people. What do you recall studying with him? And how do you recall him as a person?
Oh, I adored Claude Allman. He was my idol. I thought he was a genius as a musician. You may not even remember this, but I got a job here with Pei to work for him as his secretary and as his accompanist. And reference was made yesterday about the Hanukkah's King David. I was his accompanist for that.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Right.
And we had a lot of private time together because of those two responsibilities, and I got to know him as a friend as well as a teacher. I had nothing but the highest respect for him.
Do you recall that he was quite a composer?
Oh, I was going to refer to that. He wrote a piece and for me and dedicated to me. And do you know
what was the name of that? Do you recall?
I don't recall. I think it was Noel. Mm-hmm. I think it was. But I was going to say, in all of my moving around music through the years, that and most of my recital repertoire is gone. Mm-hmm. It was either lost or stolen when I left the seminary. And I say stolen maybe by accident, but it just disappeared.
Do you recall that he had a friend by the name of Benjamin Owen, who played a lot of his music, a pianist who taught at Michigan, I believe, and he came down here and gave a recital over in the old Heck Chapel. Do you recall that at all?
No, it's not surprising that I don't recall because my memory is gone with so many things that I've been reminded of this week that I'd completely forgotten.
Well, I have too. I mean, if you haven't thought about it for 50 years, you have to see a picture or you have to hear somebody drop a name before you begin to recall some of that.
But about Claude Allemann, I thought he was a genius. I had more respect for him than, or as much as I had ever had for any music teacher before. I suppose he was the most renowned teacher to that date. You see, when I went to Union University, I don't mean this to sound as bad as it probably will sound, but I didn't think they had a very good music faculty, and I didn't want to study music there. I felt, seriously, as if I knew already as much as the faculty did were teaching piano.
That's probably true. And none of the schools had highly trained people. In fact, Claude Allemann was the first PhD, known PhD among Southern Baptists in music.
Right? I didn't know that, but I'm not surprised.
And
we got him here.
On the ground floor of our school.
And I was going to say, when I went to Union, since I didn't want to study music there, two things that might be of interest. I took a math course, a math major, and took all the math courses there. I was essentially a math person. Mm-hmm. And the other thing of interest is that even though I didn't study there, I was the school accompanist for everything. I played for chapel. I accompanied many of the recitals. I did recitals, solo work. Mm-hmm. And everybody was aware I wasn't a music student there, but they called on me.
Do you recall, back to Claude Allemann, the times when he had the music school students out to his apartment?
I do.
At the old Green Tree Manor, which is now Village Manor.
Yeah. I referred to that too. I said he had
toasted cheese sandwiches
in his home, and
Cokes. We had a wonderful time, played records.
It was probably his own influence that has encouraged me to do the same thing all of my teaching life. I always had students into my home.
What do you recall about Prof. Johnson?
Such a fine man, such a jolly, generous, loving, comical person. I don't recall that I studied or worked under him. If I did, I've forgotten.
Probably not.
But I remember him as a person, and he was so good, cordial to us to take us to church in his car.
Were you in that group that went with him to Walnut Street at first?
Not regularly. Mm-hmm. In other words, they were telling yesterday about naming the people who went to church in his car every Sunday. I wasn't a member of that group, but many a time I remember riding with him. It seemed like to me most of the time it was on Sunday evening.
Mm-hmm.
He would take us out to a...
I had forgotten...
What is the name, Broad?
Walnut Street Baptist Church.
Yes, Walnut Street.
I had forgotten, but there was a girls' quartet of that first music school class.
I don't remember.
The Camel Sisters and Florence Moore and Maxine Tice. And Thelma Jean had a picture of them here yesterday. And I had forgotten about that, but they did a lot of singing around, and I expect Prof... really wanted them quite often to sing at Walnut Street.
Something else I might throw in here that I've just remembered about that really doesn't have a connection with our music school except that it happened while I was a student here, and that was John Hamilton from the School of Theology, a very talented pianist who was also studying for the ministry. John and I developed a two-piano team, and we gave two piano recitals.
That's right.
First in the old Norton Hall.
Old Norton Hall Chapel, that's all
Norton
we had.
Norton Hall Chapel,
right.
And later around the South at various churches.
John was a remarkable fellow.
Yeah.
He, of course, was in student work and in pastorates, but he kept up his piano all the time.
Always.
And he actually, before he died, came back here and gave a piano recital right here in the music school.
Is that right?
And of course his wife was quite...
Verjama.
Verjama was quite talented as a monologuist.
Yeah.
And they would give
the three of us would, joint
program.
Yeah, with three of us always.
Well, he was the chapel pianist when we came. When we come to regular seminary chapel, he was at the piano, keyboard.
Well, I remember playing many a time for chapel too. I
right.
wasn't the pianist, but I certainly...
Right.
either I mean, filled in or something.
When you were brand new, they didn't know about you. Yeah. He was the one that was in the seat at that point. And of course, it wasn't until later that we got a little organ in there, little molar organ, cabinet organ was put in over there at a later time. Yeah. And I can, there are some pictures of Mr. Winters playing that over there. Uh-huh. What do you recall about other seminary professors that you studied with? We had to take seminary courses, remember?
The one that's most memorable is Dr. Leo Green, who I was terrified of. You know, I have some talents and abilities, but there are some that I don't have. And one is I was a weak history student. And, I took Old Testament, and that's history, you know.
Right.
And so he scared me to death when I had to recite. Studying for his course was always terrifying. I made passing grades. I might even have made good grades. I don't remember what grade I made.
Did you survive having to stand up and recite?
That's what I'm trying, that I'm getting to. I may have recited more than once, but I remember the first time I really thought I was going to pass out when he called my name because my mind went blank and I wasn't well prepared anyway. And he kept me standing about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And I must have satisfied him because I didn't get kicked out of the class, but that was an experience I shall never forget.
Well, very often he would just keep a student standing while he continued to teach or to preach.
Right.
I considered him a preacher. He preached the lessons.
I had a lot of respect for him. I was just scared to death.
You know, he just died a few months ago
in
Florida. He left here, you know, and taught at Southeastern Seminary for many years.
How old was he about?
He was well up in 80s, I think.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So he was the
most good-looking man. I always enjoyed his classes if I weren't so scared.
He was a very talented young man. So he made the most impression. How about anybody else?
Well,
that
I can't even remember.
Did you study with
moment.
Dr. Dobbins?
I don't believe so.
Church,
who else?
That would be religious education.
No.
And church administration.
No.
Or worship.
No, my worship classes were with Francis Winters,
right.
I think.
Who'd you have New Testament with? You had Old Testament with Leo Green, Dr. McDowell, maybe?
Hugh, I don't remember.
You don't recall.
I just don't
recall.
I know I had all of the other seminary courses that we had to take. I came, and I remember coming over here. I just don't remember my teachers.
Well, do you recall your graduating recitals?
Vaguely.
You gave them down here at Clifton Baptist Church. You remember that?
Was it Clifton?
Clifton, yeah. Right down here on Franklin
Avenue. I remember the building, and now that you say the name, yes.
It's because it had the best organ close by.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It was sort of to be compared to my first days as a teacher at New Orleans Seminary. We didn't have a seminary organ, and shortly after I went to teach there, I became the cathedral organist, and so we used the cathedral organ for our Baptist theological graduating students, of which I had, I think, three that first year.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Hello.
And
about
my teachers were,
mm-hmm.
well,
Lawrence Cook.
Lawrence Cook.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to remember whether he coached me. I don't believe he did in my first recital, but Kenneth Poole.
He hadn't come, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Kenneth.
By then.
And I remember the experience. I don't remember the repertoire I played.
I remember it, your master's recital, because you asked me
to sing.
I sang something from the St. Matthew Passion just to sort of spell you off.
Uh-huh.
And somebody else, I guess Gene Shepherd, was my accompanist over there, but I sang over there.
On my recital.
For your graduating
and
recital.
And I invited you and asked you to.
And we have a program of it here,
yeah.
I'm sure. We could
recall. I have all of my programs. I just haven't looked at them in mm-hmm. years and years and years.
Well, B, what stands out in your mind anecdotally? Do you have any funny experiences that you could recall while you were a music school student?
Well, the one that comes first to mind wasn't especially funny, but my mother somehow or another had bought me a beautiful full length to the knees fur coat, And one day I left Barnard Hall wearing it and ran across from Barnard to go across the street to get to Cook Hall. And just as I hit the street, it was covered with ice, and I slid all the way across, took the whole rear end off of my new fur coat.
Oh, my soul.
Ruined the coat. I remember that. I remember going bicycling with Judy and Jim and Grady Hutchinson. The four of us went bicycling through the park.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Cherokee Park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We did that more than once, but I have pictures of the four of us on that bicycle ride.
Do you remember going to Memorial Auditorium?
Oh, many a time, yes. To hear those gorgeous...
Had a date with some boy who had ushering, probably?
Probably. I remember John, let's see, what was his name? Forgotten his name. It wasn't John Wood, John Hunt.
John Hunt. Oh, yeah, John Hunt.
John Hunt.
He was a
similar... Oh, and another one was Wiley. What was his name?
Wiley, yeah.
Either that was his first name or his last name.
Last name, I believe.
I remember Wiley picking me up for a date one night, and it was raining like cats and dogs, and I had an umbrella. And he wanted to take the umbrella, and I didn't want him to. I wanted to hold it over me, but he insisted. And he took the umbrella and then missed me, and I got soaking wet.
He was trying to be nice.
He was trying to be nice and missed me completely, and I got wet.
Yeah.
I remember that wasn't a very pleasant experience. I wasn't very happy with him.
You have Lawrence Cook was your teacher for your bachelor's recital, and this is the one that I assisted you on.
Oh, well, let me just glance at it in a second.
And then keep your thumb here, and then it would be Kenneth Poole was for your
Bach,
master's
recital. Mendelssohn, Bach, Louis V. Aaron, and Claude Alma. There it is, Noel.
Yeah.
And he wrote that with me, mm-hmm. and I had the music in handwritten form with autograph. I'd give anything if I had it back, but I don't know where it got to.
So this was your bachelor's recital.
And then
Kenneth Poole was your teacher for the master's.
So Lawrence Cook did have me the first one.
For the first time. And then Kenneth.
I must have had 3 years, with Lawrence Cook, and then the last year
with
Kenneth.
Because Kenneth just came your master's year.
Yeah, and then I had Bach and César Franck, and again, do a French. You know, when I went to Europe, I went to study French organ literature,
right. mm-hmm.
and there was Dupre and Louis V. Aaron, and then it ended with the Sowerby Toccata.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And I was right, it was Gene Prince who was my accompanist for that when I sang
right
with
up
you.
There. Uh-huh.
Right.
Let's see, did I have anybody back here? No, that was a solo performance.
You did it all, that was your big master's.
Yeah.
That was in lieu. We had to write a thesis, but you did a recital.
The only
two options we had is either you wrote a thesis or you did an organ recital. We couldn't do it in voice, and I don't think you could do it in piano, but you could do it in organ. That was the church instrument.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm impressed.
Right.
Again, this isn't funny, but it's a memory that I remember. When we were in Barnard Hall, we lived, those two buildings, they were like dreams come true. And each one was different, and each was wonderful to live in. But Barnard Hall, we had to go around the staircase to come downstairs, and some of us would get in a hurry and run. And so one time I ran and busted my head. I still have a scar here, hitting the corner of the, I stumbled or fell or something, and I went head in, and blood was going everywhere.
Oh,
so I still have a scar right up here on top. Mm-hmm. I remember, what are the beautiful services we had in the
choral,
big living room?
Choral Vesper services.
Choral Vesper. Around the fireplace where we all got dressed up in our...
Oh, then you're talking
evening.
About the Yule log service. What do you remember about those?
Well, how inspirational and warm and loving they were. It was our small family group of students. It wasn't a big crowd.
Dr. Fuller was usually there.
Dr. Fuller.
And Mrs. Fuller.
And we had those beautiful, beautiful services where, as I said, we all got dressed up in our evening clothes,
and
evening
often
dresses.
Had a banquet.
And what?
Often had a banquet, a Christmas banquet, before we had the Yule log service.
Yeah.
And that, of course, that's been perpetuated all to the
Still
present. And we tell the story of the founding of the school every year. And I think that's wonderful to let oncoming generations of students know about that history.
Yes. How much of the story, in other words, how long does it go? Who does it?
Well, I've done it a lot of the times, but we sort of alternated around among the faculty, even the faculty that
you
weren't.
You don't have a script that you sort of refer.
Oh, yes. We have a whole file of programs, content. You remember Bruce Hartzell did it
yes,
one time.
Yes.
Tatum, W.B. Tatum, Faculty Lounge. This was the office secretary. I had her look up Judy's address, and she's got it, so we'll have it on a list for you. What were we saying? I'm sorry we got interrupted.
Oh, the Yule log service.
Yes.
And who was doing the scripts? And
various
you have
ones.
Them in the
it
library.
Was passed around. You see, the first time it was Mrs. Winters and Mrs. Fuller that did it.
Yes.
When we had it over there before that great big fireplace in the old cook
yes.
hall.
Yes. Uh-huh.
The second year we had moved to Barnard.
Barnard.
And we had it over there. There's a nice fireplace there. And I, as the president of the student body, I had to tell the story. And then I told part of it. And then W.B. Tatum, who was the assistant to President Fuller, who had been our business manager on our first tour.
Uh-huh.
You remember him?
Uh-huh.
We have the script of what he said.
The
we have the
I
script
asked.
Of what Bruce Hartzell said on a little later time.
Wonderful.
Ruth, my wife, has done it once. Dorothy Hartzell has done it. Don Husted and various members of the faculty.
The reason I ask was, do they all get the same facts right?
Well, they revert to our early stories for their facts, and then they put their own
touch on it.
You know, their own spin, because each one adds to the tradition in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
Through the years, Landgrave has written a little response that we sing sometimes at mm-hmm. the Yule log service.
Mm-hmm.
And we sing carols, of
course.
How many
people attend them now, maybe?
Well, it varies. We have it over in the patio room now of the WMU Train School downstairs.
I don't know which
has a fireplace.
Oh.
Now, our hope is that when we get the extension to the campus center over here, there's going to be a large dining hall with a big fireplace. And that'll be a place where we can really... we don't have enough space for the entire school, and of course they don't all come anyway, but we have anywhere from 50 to 150 people.
Oh, that many? Oh, good.
It's open to all the students, and the student government takes responsibility for a lot of the arrangements of it. So it's a tradition
uh-huh.
that has lasting.
Well,
and,
I'm so
and
pleased.
It's connected with the vision that Dr. Fuller had and with the whole mission and spirit of the music school.
I remember the first day we were in session, the very first day Dr. Fuller met with us brand new students in that little room in Cook Hall, which is now the president's home. If you enter, it's right on the right, and we had that little room, and he gave us a challenge then.
That's right, became my studio.
To commit ourselves to a life of music.
That's right.
For the Southern Baptist. And I took that very seriously, and I worked for the Southern Baptist.
That's right.
For 33 years.
That's
one
right.
year at Mississippi Woman's College and 32 years at the New Orleans Seminary.
Dr. Fuller had a way of looking with you at that eagle eye and
yes,
really laying it on you that
I
this
will
was
never forget
your,
that. That's a memory
your
that's
commitment.
Still
right.
the commitment and his challenging us
well,
right then.
And of course it was because he buttonholed me and because I was going on out to, well, I was really probably going to become a foreign missionary. He buttonholed me and told me, young man, you go out to China and you'll be just one lone missionary. You stay here and you can
train and equip and mentor hundreds of missionaries eventually, if you'll. And so
I didn't know that he told you that, but
he did.
That's
and so I stayed, and I've been here ever since.
We're very proud of you, Hugh.
And so I have a great love, of course, for the school, and I have the great burden of telling the story in writing. I'm writing the history of the entire 50 years.
I'm so happy to know it's going to be done. I just hope you can have enough volumes to put it all in.
Well, of course, I'll probably have a version that can be published, and then I'll probably write my memoirs, which will be more personal reactions to some things.
And will these recordings that you've done so many of, will they be a part of the library?
Yeah, they go into the archives.
Oh, okay.
And I will use them, of course, excerpts from them for helping me to write the history. And I don't know what kind of form the history is going to have, but it will be publishable. Maybe the Review and Expositor. They publish books ever so often.
I want you to know this, since this is going into the archives, I want you to know that I always considered this seminary my seminary. Mm-hmm. It's even, I almost felt like a heretic when I went to teach at New Orleans, but I would encourage my students there to come here. I said, that's the best seminary in the world. That's where I graduated from, and that's the seminary. I always loved New Orleans Seminary, but I always loved this one more and respected it more. I'm not sure exactly why, except that I got such a good education here. And
I think there's no doubt but what we had from the very beginning, an excellent faculty.
Excellent.
And a vision for what we were here for. And although we've had our ups and downs through the years, we've continued to build a good school here.
Yeah.
And as you heard yesterday in chapel, many people feel that this is the best faculty for church music to be found anywhere.
I'm sure that's true. I don't know all of your faculty. Mm-hmm. I know several of them, and I have high respect for them.
Mm-hmm.
I was very impressed yesterday morning with the service. That was extremely beneficial and inspirational and informative of the quality of music that's being taught here.
It's a wide variety of styles,
as
you can hear, but well done.
The only thing I really was a little disappointed in was the way the service ended. I thought that was a little bit jazzy.
It was.
For my taste.
It was, the postlude.
The postlude itself.
Right.
People were actually foot tapping and bouncing around in their seats, and it didn't seem like the fitting ending for a worship service.
Well, that's normal to have that reaction.
Is it?
But, of course, a lot of other people like that.
Oh, of course. Well, I know.
We have such a great diversity of music, church music these days.
I'm very staid and all in my classic taste, although, you know, I like contemporary things very much.
Mm-hmm.
I especially almost majored in contemporary French music.
Did you?
So, yes.
Well, anything else that you would like to record for posterity? As you think about the school here, about your experiences here, about your experiences maybe after you've left here, as you look back upon the school.
Hugh, I've just about said all that I think of right now. You know, my talents go along not with talking, not with doing things on the spur of the moment.
I understand that.
I'm much more at ease with sitting down at my typewriter, and then it just flows.
And you do well. You write very well.
Thank you.
I think that what you've shared with us is very good, and that'll be part of my resources also for recalling some of this.
And I cut that. I don't mean I wrote it and cut it, actually, but I just went over the very, in other words, a bird's eye view, you might say, of 50 years to get down to six pages.
Yeah.
If I had had non-stop limitations, I could have written a whole book, and may yet write about my memories. But I don't know. On the spur of the moment, right now, I don't think of anything especially.
If we were using this as a message to Lillian Howell and Shirley Byler and others of our first group who couldn't be here for the reunion, how would you describe our experiences of just yesterday, for example?
Extremely satisfying and exciting and even a bit emotional, but disappointing in that we only had you and Thelma Jean and Ruth and me. Was that right?
And Howard.
And Howard,
that's
of course, Howard. The five of us.
That's right. Maureen valiantly
so
wanted to come.
So many couldn't
she
come.
She would have come.
That I was so hoping
to see. And unfortunately, we didn't get the message out to some of the others.
If anybody knows anybody else's address, please let us know, let
right.
you know.
We'll go to work on that.
But the message to them, you know, Lillian was my roommate in Barnard Hall,
mm-hmm.
and Maureen and Florence Moore
yeah.
were my roommates the first year in Cook Hall.
That's right.
And they are very dear to me, even though we don't see each other, we don't talk, we don't write. I feel like they're as close to me as sisters, and that when I see them again, we will feel the same way about
That's
each
right.
other. Who else did I not mention? Shirley.
Shirley.
McGuff. Bala. You know, I said Florence Moore somewhere along. I must not have meant Florence. It was Judy. Judy and Maureen and I were the roommates, not
okay.
Florence.
Judy Wallace.
Judy Wallace, Kamak. And what a brilliant pianist she was. And what a charming girl.
Yes. And she, like Thelma Jean, of course, married and left us before
yeah.
continuing with the course.
Judy fell in love with Jim on a blind date. And she came home that night and said, I want to marry that man. And I understand he later did. I understand later that I heard that he did the same thing. He went home to his dormitory pals and said, I found the girl
right?
I want to marry.
Well, it must have been providential.
It must have been.
Because they did get married, and they're still, they've probably been married now, what, almost 50 years?
Just about.
Right. I'm not sure that Judy got the message of this. They would have come, probably.
Oh.
Yeah.
And didn't I hear that he's ill? Jim? James Kamak?
Oh, James Byler is the one that's ill. Shirley's
oh.
husband.
Oh, Shirley's husband.
I think Jim Kamak is all right,
he's
at
all
least.
Right. But you just found out this morning their address.
Yes. And I'm making a list for you of as many as we have.
Good. I will be happy. But the message is that I wish we could all get together again. Not just once, but, you know, frequently.
Well,
I doubt if that will happen.
Well, if we all take our vitamins and keep exercising, maybe in 5 years' time we can all be living and we can arrange to get together. At least we can start communicating a little more.
That would be nice.
Of networking. And it could be that we can, who knows, can have another one. Well, Bea, I want to thank you very much for this interview and for your reminiscing. And unfortunately, I've got to go to class now.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. And just remember, whoever listens to this, I'm not good at speaking. My best talents lie in playing the organ, directing the choir, and writing. So give me another chance.
Well, we've got your letter, and we're going to enjoy that as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bea.
And I'm having such a wonderful time. See, I'm staying longer than others because I wanted to squeeze every bit of the good out. I will be here till Friday morning, and I appreciate Hugh and Ruth being such wonderful hosts.
And we're glad you're here.